So we are continuing our study of Bible doctrine. We have been looking at eschatology, the doctrine of last things, the study of the future as the Bible presents it to us. This is message number 70 in that series, and the title of the message tonight is The Story of the Spirit Beings. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. So in the last message we began considering the story of the heavens. And this is one of the threads that we've been talking about of the Bible's big story that runs from the beginning of the Bible to the ending of the Bible. These threads have multiple strands, as we have noticed. And so that is also the case when it comes to the heavens. So we considered the last time the cosmos and its origin and its present purpose and its final destiny. Now we have to admit that we aren't given a lot about the heavenly bodies of stellar space, but they are related to the earth and they function in ways that certainly affect the earth. The Bible tells us that God holds them in a balance so that the earth is stabilized and sustained as it is, and he will continue to do so for a time. We also noted that the heavenly bodies are said to be for signs, which are specially relevant for the future day of the Lord. And we read of various signs in the heavens that immediately precede Christ's return to the earth in judgment on his enemies. The heavenly bodies, we are told, will experience a violent and convulsive shaking along with the earth in that day. Now, this is not the final end for the heavens, as the heavens is headed for renewal along with the earth. The heavens will experience this renewal. We can speak of renovation, restoration. We could also say redemption, that the heavens will be redeemed just as the earth will. Now, we don't know what all changes will take place for the heavens, but we do know that there will be no night when you read about the eternal ages in Revelation chapter 21, verses 23 to 25. There's going to be no night, and so obviously there's going to be no need of the sun for light for day. So that eternal day that is brightened by the brightness of the presence of God in the midst of his people on the earth, there's no need of the sun for day, so there will not be obviously any marking of night and day, as it were. So we don't know what all changes. Some have taken from that, well, the sun and moon will no longer exist. I don't know that we can read all of that from what we get there, but certainly there will be some changes for the heavens, and the heavens will be redeemed. So the story of the heavens is the record of how space and non-earth entities were created to display God's glory and to provide stability to the earth, as well as give signs of his coming in judgment and ultimately to be renewed for eternity. Now, in this particular message, I want to take up another strand of the thread of the heavens, which is the spirit beings. Now, as we work through these threads in these messages, you're going to notice quite a bit of overlap. In other words, we're going to read some of the same verses over and over again, but every time that we do, we're going to be looking at something a little bit different. And so that's just what should be expected, because these threads are woven together in the same story, the past, the present, and the future. They're all intertwined. So there's obviously going to be some overlap in that way. Now, first of all, when I'm talking about spirit beings, I'm referring to the created beings that are sometimes called angels. There actually are quite a number of names or titles that they are called by once you start compiling a list from the Old and the New Testament, but we're probably most familiar with that term, angels. Now, earlier in this study of Bible doctrine, we had sermons about holy angels. We had sermons about evil angels or unclean spirits or demons. We had even had a sermon about Satan, in particular, the prince of the demons. So I don't want to just go over all of that again. So we're going to focus a little more on their future destinies, just as we have as we've been starting to look at these threads of the Bible's big story. So we have two main concerns here tonight. First of all is the creation and work of the spirit beings, and then secondly, their future destinies. So let's begin here with their creation and work, and we come back here to Genesis 2 in verse 1 that reads, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." So Genesis 2:1 speaks of all the host of the heavens being created in the six normal days of creation that we read about in Genesis 1 and 2. Now, we don't have a specific mention of angels here in Genesis 1 and 2, whether that would be good angels or bad angels. We don't have a specific mention in the first part of Genesis. We don't get any specific mention. Now, some want to say that when it says that God created the stars, as it does in Genesis chapter number 1, and quite oftentimes angels are referred to as stars, that could be a specific reference to them. I'm not entirely certain about that, but nevertheless, we do encounter in Genesis 3 the serpent. But the serpent in Genesis 3 is not there named to be Satan or any other spirit being for that matter, but is a serpent of the field. And it's later in Revelation. So as we go further in the Bible that we find these identified. The serpent is identified as Satan in a few different ways. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Paul writing there, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And of course, Paul warned the church at Corinth about the deceptive devices and strategies and such of Satan, of the devil. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2, "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So though we don't have specific mention of Satan, for instance, in the first chapters of Genesis, we do have reference to the serpent that we later learn was indeed Satan. Satan somehow possessing this creature and through it deceiving Eve and Adam. And we also have later revelation that confirms the creation of the angels as a part of the hosts of heaven that were created in this normal creation week. So Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." So there's no question that here in Nehemiah we have reference to the holy angels as they are often seen around the throne of God, engaged in some acts of worship of God around his throne. But also from Nehemiah 9:6, we take and understand that this was one creative act. All the hosts of the heavens were created in one creative act. Again, and we know that this took place in the creation week. Job chapter 38, verses 6 to 7. "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Now, this reference to the morning stars here, and reference to the sons of God, this is another reference to the holy angels. And we see that they were witnesses of other acts of creation, and they praised God for the same, meaning that they were created very early in the creation week and that they were witnesses to the other works that came after them. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, speaking of Jesus Christ, says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Now, references to thrones and dominions and principalities and powers are references that can indeed refer to human rulers, can also refer to angels, to spirit beings, and it can refer to holy angels or fallen angels. I mean, just that reference alone would not be enough to tell us. So what we know from Genesis, as well as following through the Bible, is that all the spirit beings were created in six normal days of the creation week, along with everything else. Now, we don't know the exact number of the angels. We know that it is a very great number, and any time any sort of a number is hinted at, it is expressed that way, and probably also referenced to them as being like the stars of heaven would be a reference to the brightness of their presence, as well as probably their number. But though their number is great, the number of the angels is limited because angels are not continuing to be created, nor do they procreate. We understand this from the Bible. So whatever that number is, larger than we can count, but nevertheless, there is a number, and they were created in one act of creation. So as we start thinking about the spirit beings that God has created, and going through the Bible, we can identify four different groups of spirit beings in the Bible. First of all would be the holy angels. This was, in fact, the first estate. This was the way that all the spirit beings were created, as righteous and holy angels. Mark chapter 8, verse 38, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." So this reference to the holy angels are those that have been created by God. They are also later referred to as elect angels. There may be a few other ways that they are referred to. These would refer to the angels that have never sinned. These angels have never fallen. And as such, these angels do not need to be redeemed. And I think that the writer of Hebrews was at least hinting at this in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 7, when he wrote, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." So he's talking about the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, him taking on a human body, him dying a substitutionary death in the place of sinners and for sin, in order that men and women might be redeemed. He didn't do this for the angels. And so there are holy and elect angels that we read about. They don't stand in need of redemption. They have never sinned. The next group would then be the fallen angels. And this group would actually divide down into three groups. So the fallen angels. Fallen angels are referred to as angels who sinned in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. We'll read that here in a few moments. Angels who sin. So they are distinct from the holy angels who have never sinned, who do not need redemption. So angels who have sinned are the angels who fell in Satan's rebellion. So Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And a dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So this verse would be describing this rebellion. So you have the spirit beings created, and then you have a rebellion of which Satan was the chief instigator, also known by the name Lucifer, and also known as the devil, and several, that old serpent and the dragon, and all, numerous names that are given to him. But it is always referring to a specific being of Satan. And when we looked at that, we looked at the references to him being the prince of the devils and even the king of the abyss and such things as that. So in that rebellion led by Satan, and he was one of the guardian cherubs, we are told, the anointed cherub in the book of Ezekiel. He had a high role and place, but yet he fell from that. Jesus described him falling as lightning from the sky because of his pride. So this would describe then the fallen angels. So now you have the spirit beings that are divided into two groups. You've got, on the one hand, you've got the holy angels, the elect angels, those that were created in righteousness. They have never fallen, they have never sinned. Then you have the fallen angels on the other hand, which include Satan as the prince of the fallen angels. Now from there, we can divide down into three groups of the fallen angels. First of all, you have Satan himself and a portion of the fallen angels, who are also referred to as unclean spirits, who are active presently. So, for instance, in Mark 5:2, it says, "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." Now, this is the man of the in the place of the Gadarenes, and eventually he would cast this unclean spirit out. Jesus had conversation with this unclean spirit, and obviously through the Gospels and even part in the book of Acts, we see a lot of interaction with evil spirits or demons. We talked about that again in those earlier messages. But obviously, Satan, who is active in the world, we're given numerous ways in which he's active. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is a deceiver. He blinds the minds of people in the world. His demons, they act as birds to snatch away the seed when it is sown. All of these kind of things. So there are a portion of those fallen angels who are active and present in the world today. And then there is another group, which would be a portion of the fallen angels who have been confined to the abyss or to the bottomless pit. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." Jude 1:6, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." So there were a portion of those angels that have been confined to the abyss, to the bottomless pit, until now, and they are still there. And then we have this third group, which is a pretty small group, which mentions four angels in particular, and in some way they are confined to the Euphrates River. Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 to 15, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men." So there are four angels that are in some way confined in connection with the Euphrates River and are going to be released. That's going to be later during the time heavy tribulation, and we will look at some of those things here in a little bit. So we can identify out of these spirit beings that God created, the hosts of heaven, we can identify holy angels and fallen angels, and then further subdivide those fallen angels into those three different groups, some of those being confined, some of those being present and very active in the world even to this day, and will continue to be so. Now, when the Bible speaks of holy angels, they are typically seen in any visions that we get that are connected with God's throne. Generally, any of those visions that we have, we see holy angels around that throne. So here's Micaiah's vision, 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 19. And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left." We get these visions in Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts," or living creatures, "full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever." Revelation 5, verse 11, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." So these spirit beings were created, and they have continued around the throne of God, worshiping him without any end, without any ceasing. We looked at the vision of Isaiah in Isaiah 6 this morning in Sunday school, which would be another one of those instances. We also find that the holy angels are those that, while it seems that they primarily abide there in the third heaven with God and in proximity to his throne, holy angels do the will of God in the earth. And evil angels oppose and fight against God. There seems to be, in fact, a continual battle going on between holy angels and evil angels. So for an instance of this, we could look at Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel." This is the angel speaking to Daniel. "Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." So when you look at this, I believe this is the angel Gabriel. When you look at this, Daniel is praying to God. He wants to understand the prophecy of Jeremiah, the 70 years determined on the people. He's wanting to understand the meaning of this. Remember that Daniel is one of those carried away in the exile. And the angel says that while he was praying, he was heard, and this angel was sent forth to come to Daniel to explain these visions and such to him and these prophecies. But notice as he goes on in verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Now these references to princes and chief princes and kings of Persia and such are again references to spirit beings, powerful beings that are involved even in the national affairs on the earth. And so Gabriel says that this prince of Persia, which isn't named, had withstood him. So think about this being, this evil angel that had withstood Gabriel and actually could delay him from getting to Daniel more quickly than what he did. And even delaying him in the sense that Michael, which is known as the archangel and here called the chief, one of the chief princes, meaning that there are more likely more than one archangel, one of the chief princes, he comes and helps him fight against this fallen angel, and then Gabriel is able to proceed on to Daniel to speak to him. Now, there's a lot of things about that that's hard to comprehend, but nevertheless, we have this testimony. You go on reading in Daniel 10, verses 18 to 21. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and that there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. So when he leaves from Daniel, he's going to further engage with these evil angels, and he refers to Michael, your prince. Again, Michael, the archangel, the Michael referred to as the chief prince. So in other words, he's giving us this glimpse that there it seems to be a constant battle going on between these fallen angels that have not been confined, those that are still active and free. There's a constant battle between them and the holy angels as they go forth to do God's will in various ways and in various places. These evil angels are opposing and thwarting and fighting against and seeking to overcome them. Well, now this brings us to consider the future for holy angels as well as the evil angels. What are their destinies? Well, both angels and demons, which is another word for the fallen angels or the evil angels or the unclean spirits, both angels, holy angels, and demons are frequently mentioned and active in the book of Revelation during this time of tribulation, this time of Daniel's 70th week. In fact, there is an unnamed archangel that will give the shout for the rapture of the saints prior to the tribulation, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Angels are particularly ministers of judgment. In other words, as we go through, you go through Revelation in particular, and you see these judgments coming upon the earth, upon the nations, upon the earth, we realize that angels are primary ministers of this judgment. So Revelation chapter number 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and there were cast upon the earth. The third part of the trees were burnt up. All the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it was as a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became Wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. And you go on reading through there and you see how these angels are primary ministers of this judgment that's coming on the earth. Revelation 16:1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And then they proceed to do that as you read on in the account. So as we look there in this future time, this time of Jacob's trouble, this time of tribulation, this time of Daniel's 70th week, the angels are very active as ministers executing judgment upon the nations of the earth. And in fact, angels will return with Jesus Christ at the end of that time, that great day of the Lord, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. We also find out that at the culmination of that great day of the Lord, that an angel will bind Satan for 1,000 years during the reign of Christ. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So just as we look at this future time, and we see this intense activity of the angels that are doing God's bidding, that are ministers of judgment on the earth, we also read during that time that demons, these unclean spirits, these fallen angels, will also be active during this time of tribulation. They will be active in bringing terror upon the earth, in bringing afflictions upon the earth, and even death to human beings on the earth. So we read about, for instance, the release of some of these imprisoned demons that we talked about earlier. So Revelation chapter 9, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold. Their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon, which is another name for Satan. One woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a great voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So here we get a glimpse of the activity of these demons. Some of these, which had been confined, being released for a time up on the earth, to come on the earth and to bring these affliction, even the death of many of the world's population at that time. Now, during this time of tribulation in particular, Satan will be very active, and he will work particularly through the beast, who is also the Antichrist and the false prophet. We read about this in Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life, or the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he that have the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that understand count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, as was mentioned earlier, Satan will, at the end of this time of tribulation, when Jesus returns with all of his holy angels and his resurrected saints, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years and then will be loosed to face a final judgment. So Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 to 10, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And this is the destiny of all of those fallen angels to spend eternity in the lake of fire under the wrath and condemnation of God. But the holy angels, well, they will continue to be with God, to be with Christ, with His saints in the eternal ages. In fact, we read about angels in the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21, 12, and had a wall great and high and had 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. They will continue on in eternity. Well, neither the holy angels nor the evil angels will experience redemption. And we've already talked about the heavens and the sun and the moon and the stars, all of these heavenly bodies, and how they will experience redemption in that future time. But the angels will not experience redemption. The evil angels, in fact, are under God's everlasting judgment, and they will face final judgment and eternal condemnation. Holy angels are seen in God's everlasting kingdom. So the story of the spirit beings is the account of special non-human beings that God created to inhabit His creation and to serve Him. While some sinned and will face eternal condemnation, the elect angels, the holy angels, will never fall and will continue in eternity as they are.